Well, I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13. And I want to ask you a question. Now what? Now what? There's always a point we come to in every weekend where we have to say goodbye. And we're about there. We rolled in here on Thursday with so many excitement, and some of you even rolled in on Wednesday. And there's been sessions and breakout sessions, and there's been music, and there's been challenges, and there's been tools, and there's been purchases made of books that'll equip your life and resources that'll go with you. And some of you, you've ordered those sessions to take home with you to put them back in or to give them to a friend. But there's a point, it's kind of an imaginary line that runs back there, Debbie, by those doors. And in a moment, you'll all cross it. And the question is, then what? Then what? What will we do then? Because everything that's been done in here doesn't matter if it doesn't leave here with you. Harold said something last night that I think should be on a t-shirt. We should all order it. We all should wear it. Decisions are not enough. Actions, following decisions, are what matters. And he's right. I can't tell you, and some of you can identify, how many of you've got through with a church service at your home church or a session and you went, "Woo, boy, that was good. He, brother, stepped all over my toes this morning. Goodness gracious. That wore me out this morning, didn't it? Yeah. Whoa, good night. Woo." And that's the end of that. Sometimes we can just get excited over being convicted and then we never do anything about it. Conviction is not the last step. Conviction is the first step. As we now follow in action. And so I want to ask you, there was in your bag when you came, there was a little, I think it was green, I can't remember the color, but there was a card. And he showed it to you on Thursday and he said, "This is for you to write down some of the things you're going to leave here and do." Whether you grab that or a piece of paper, I want you to get something if you'd like to join me with this. Either reach in that bag that you probably don't even know where it's at right now. But if you don't have that, it's okay. Maybe you've got a notebook, or you've got the back of a piece of paper in your Bible. But if you'd like to participate in this, grab a pen and a piece of paper, or maybe just pull your phone out. Get to a little note page and you're ready. Now don't text your children while you're doing it. Hang on a little longer. But as we walk through this, now what? What has God said to you while you've been here? What has He spoken to you about while you've been here? Through the sessions, and what has He told you? If you haven't taken just a few minutes to write it down in just quick three or four sentences or just three or four words to remind you, trigger words that will bring that thought back, I'm going to give you about a minute to do that right now. Jot it down. What has God said to you while you've been here? In any session, through a song, anywhere. Just, I'm going to be quiet for a minute. Just let you jot it down. Now I want to ask you another question. How are you going to do what you just said God spoke to you about? What's the plan, girls? What's the plan? How are you going to do what God just spoke to you about? Now I'm going to, you can lay that off to the side for a second. You can, because we're going to come back to that question. And I'm going to give you a moment to think about that. But I want to talk to you for a minute before you get to that place. In Numbers chapter 13, we are given a story. Actually, we walk in the middle of the children of Israel. And I want to remind you of who they were. Although many of you know their story, I want to remind you of who they were. They were people who had been in bondage for 400 years in Egypt. Generation after generation after generation after generation in bondage. Slaves making brick. And God had sent Moses. And Moses had said, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh said, "No way, Jose." And plagues came. And the death angel came. And these were people who had enough belief and faith in God to kill that lamb and to paint the blood above the doorpost as the death angel passed over. These were people who had enough belief to go to their friends who were Egyptians and say, "We're leaving. Could I have your clothes? We're leaving. Do you have anything you'd like to give us? Kind of departing gifts?" Because they were instructed to do so. And the Bible says that the Egyptians said, "Yes, take my closet, take everything, grab the jewelry, we don't care, go." These were people who had enough faith to step out and leave Egypt behind. These were the same children of Israel that stood with a wilderness on one side, a desert on the other, Pharaoh pounding down behind them in chariots, and a Red Sea in front of them. And they stood there. Can you imagine? To stand there and watch the water go up like a wall. That's the first aquarium. You just walk through and go, "Ooh, cool, look at the fish." Everything rises up against the wall and dry ground. And one after the next crosses on dry ground. Only to get to the other side and watch that massive wall of water come down on top of Pharaoh and his armies. And they sang a victory song, the Bible tells us. These were children of Israel. Huh. And a lot of us sit there and say, "Yeah, boy, I'm going to tell you what, if I could have just seen a Red Sea part, I'm telling you what, I could have done it too." But it wasn't long after that Red Sea parted and closed back down over Pharaoh and his army that those same people who had painted blood on a doorpost, those same people who had taken in the clothing and the garments and the things of the Egyptians, it's those same people who had crossed over in dry ground in the middle of the Red Sea, those same people began to question God. They began to whine. They began to complain. You know their story. They began to say, "It's not like I thought it was going to be. I missed the onions. I missed the spices. I missed Louis Italian. And we ain't got nothing out here. God brought us out here to die. Let's go back." Go back to what? Slavery? Bondage? How quick they forgot about the brick making and the taskmasters when their bellies cried out. How quick? How quickly it happened. And God, over and over again in his long suffering and his patience, brings water from a rock and he provides for them, and he gives them manna. And then they whine about that. "We don't like the manna. Their shoes don't wear out. We don't like this. We want new shoes. We're not happy. We're not happy. We're not happy. We didn't think it was going to look like this." I don't know what they thought it was going to look like. But this is not promised land. This is not what you said. Do you know it's easy to sit right here right now, and as you cross these doors and you get out there and you get home, you could be home more than 15 minutes and you watch God do great things right here, and you get out and you go, well, that's not what I thought it was going to be. This is not what I thought it was going to be. What? I thought it was going to be easier when I got out there, not harder. I didn't understand it was going to be. Well, nothing's changed. I thought while I was having revival here, a miraculous revival was happening in my home. It's dirtier than when I left it. It's everything's mad. Da, 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 da. And all of a sudden, I want to, now what? Now what? What you going to do when you cross that line? Because it's going to make all the difference as to what you did right here. And for this first generation of the children of Israel, man, they didn't get it together very well. And the time we get to Numbers 13, God has led them with all their whining and all their complaining and all their problems and all their issues and all their disbelief. He has still been faithful, and he has led them up, and it is about time to cross over to the promised land. Moses sends out 12 men, leaders of the tribe, and when you read chapter 13, verses 4 through 16, name their names. These were the leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel. Their names are listed. And Moses sent them out in verse 17 to spy out the land. And he gives them instructions. And the instructions are simply this. Go find out who's strong and who's weak. Go find out if there's a lot of them or if there's just a little. Go find out what type of land they dwell in. Is it a good land? What type of land is it? So verse 21 tells us that they leave and they go and they spy out the land. And they do everything they do. And in verse 23, just to give us a little hint of what the land looks like, it says that they came to a brook of Eshcol and they cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. Have you ever seen a cluster of grapes? A little off vine, you know, you buy them at the grocery store and you get them in a bag and you pull them off and you got a cluster. You with me? Well, they pulled down this cluster of grapes and they had to bear it upon two upon a staff. That means two men had to carry it on a stick. That's some serious grapes. I mean, that is some, I mean, how much grape juice could you get just one of those? I mean, that's some serious peanut butter and jelly for a long, long time. And they returned, verse 25, after searching the land, after 40 days, they returned. Now we want to pick up reading in verse 26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh. And they brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and they showed them the fruit of the land. Can you see it? Everybody's gathered. Here they come. These 12 men that have been gone 40 days into this land of promise that they have been told God would give to them. And here they come back. And you know everybody is gathered. Here they come. Here they come. Here they come. I heard they're coming. They're coming. They got something on a stick. Taking two guys to carry it. What is it? I don't know. I couldn't tell. And when they come in, listen to what they do. They showed them the fruit of the land. Well, I guess so. Check out these grapes, boys. And people are, oh, have you ever seen a grape that big in your life? Well, I've never seen a grape like, well, there's, wow. And they told them, we came into the land whither thou sentest us. And surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and they're very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And you think these grapes are big? Wait till you see those boys. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the coast of Jordan. And so by now, the people are like, ooh. I mean, a while ago, they were like, woo, grapes. And now they're going, ooh, oh, oh boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, Canaanites, Jebusites. Oh, Amalekites. Oh, giants. Oh. And the Bible says, and Caleb stilled the people. He's a spy. He just got back. And he's going, hey, shh, 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 shh. Calm down. Let me tell you something. And the people get still before him. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. For we are all able, for we are well able to overcome it. So Caleb's like, shh, 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 shh. Let's go get them, boys. This is good. Let's go. God's given it to us. We're able to overcome it. Let's do it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we are. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants and the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice. And they cried, and the people wept that night. And they murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said, would God we had died in the land of Egypt. Oh, would that God had let us die in this wilderness. Are you kidding me? 12 spies come back. Give this report. Caleb says, hey, we can do this. We are able. And 10 men say, no, we can't. You don't understand. This is a land that will eat you alive. These are giants. And I mean, the sons of the giants are giants. There's no way. We will all go over there and we're all going to die over there. Can't be done. And the people rose up and cried and said, would God, why didn't God just kill us in Egypt? Or why doesn't he just kill us right now in this wilderness? Why did he bring us out here? Same people who stood at a Red Sea and watched it go. Same people who watched a death angel pass over with the blood at the door. Same people who saw plagues. Same people said, God can't do it. We can't do it. It's impossible. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. And they continued to murmur and complain. And Joshua speaks up and Caleb speaks up and they rent their clothes and they say, listen to us, please listen to us. But the people would not listen. And God says, I've had it. I have had it with these people. I brought them out. I've rescued them. I've showed them my might. I've showed them my power. I have spoken to them. They saw the Shekinah glory of God. And you know what they have done? They have complained. They have whined. And they're still standing here right now going, we don't believe it can be done. And so some of the saddest verses I think in all of Scripture follow. What comes next is so difficult because now God turns and he says, all right, because of your unbelief, you will never leave this wilderness. Because of your unbelief. Verse 22 of chapter 14, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit within him, hath followed me fully. Him I will bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now I want you to look at verse 25. Tomorrow, turn you and get into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. I never really caught this verse until I was studying over it. God said, all right. I promised you victory. Now, I want to help clarify because it's important, because we've got a heritage of songs that have messed us up on this truth. Okay? Canaan is not heaven. Canaan represents victory in the life of a believer. God was bringing them across to victory. He was bringing them out of bondage and into victory in their lives. And so here we stand, and they're at their moment. Yes, they've gone through a lot. Yes, they've saw the Red Sea part. Yes, it's been a battle. Yes, the wilderness has not been what they expected. They didn't expect to walk out of bondage and walk straight into a wilderness and have to wander there for a while. It's not what they thought. But instead of trusting God in what they could not understand, because they know he was right and that he would lead them and guide them, instead of doing that, they fell into disbelief, and they would soon abandon that faith that was above that doorpost and that walked them across the water onto dry land. And so it's one of the saddest verses in all of Scripture is the Lord looked at him and said, all right, turn around. Do you know how close they were to victory? Do you know how close they were to victory? They had the grapes of victory in their possession. They were all so close to victory. And God said, no, you don't believe. So turn around and go back to the wilderness by the way of the what? By the way of the what? Go back to the wilderness and pass the very place that I brought, did the miraculous for you. Do you want to know what was going through their minds as they all turned around finally? There was more to the story, you can read it. But as they finally turned around and headed back, can you imagine what it must have been like to have walked by that Red Sea and seen it once again? And known that you will never see victory. Your kids will see it, but you will not see it because you did not believe. And those spies, those 10 men, God took them out. First generation of Israel. God said, all right, you were so close to victory, but you wouldn't believe me. I don't know what you expected, but you got to trust me. There's wildernesses to walk through. I don't know what you thought, but there's difficulties. I didn't promise you a smooth field. I don't know if you just thought you were going to walk out of the Red Sea and walk right into Canaan or what you thought, but I had a process. You're on a journey. I'm getting you there. I promised it. I promised you. I will get you there. Trust me in it. Walk with me in it. I'll take you there. And they're so close and they don't get to go. And one of the saddest tales I can know is the lives of these people for the next 40 years as they wandered and spent the best years of their life wandering in circles in a wilderness only to die there. I don't know what you expect when you leave these doors. I don't know. I don't know what you expect. I don't know what you think. But if God has done a work in your life and you have seen him move in your heart and life this week, and you just wrote some things down, this is how God has spoke to me. It's how he's moved in my life. If you've watched God do some things, you've miracles are beginning to happen in your life. You're watching the power of God. You've seen God move. I don't know what lays out those doors for you, but here's what I can promise you to be true. God will be faithful to do what he says he'll do. And if God says he came to give us life more abundantly, then guess what? A 10 is available. We're going back where we started. Wouldn't you hate to be so close to victory and have to turn around? Wouldn't you hate to spend the rest of your days wandering in circles in the wilderness because you don't believe God for more? And I have to be honest with you. Harold's right. It's one thing to be convicted. It's another thing to act and move when we walk out these doors by faith. Step out. Expect there to be problems out there. Expect there to be difficulties out there. Expect there's an enemy out there. Expect that there'll be good days out there. Expect that God's got awesome things out there for you. And when we walk out these doors, let's don't do what this first generation did. Because if we're not careful, we'll walk out of here like they walked out of Egypt. And the next thing you know, they're whining and they're complaining. God, it didn't work out like I thought. It's not what I thought they were talking about at the prayer advance. I don't know what Brother Harold was talking about by the prayer of faith, but I don't have any faith. I'm done with it. I don't know what to do anymore. And I'm right next to victory. And then God says, you can spend the rest of your life wandering in circles if you want to. But it is your belief in who He is. And that He is who He says He is. And that He can do what He says He can do. That is going to give you not a first generation Israel attitude, but a second generation Israel attitude. Because you see, the story doesn't end there. Because now I want you to flip over just two books. Go to Joshua. So Numbers, Deuteronomy is the next book. Keep flipping the page. And you're going to run right into Joshua. Joshua chapter 3. Forty years have passed. They've gone. That generation has spent their life wandering in circles. And they've died. And now their sons and their daughters, led by Joshua, stand at the very same place that their father stood, ready to cross over. They also send spies. But Joshua's learned a few things. And when we get to Joshua chapter 3, Joshua is now, the men returned in chapter 2. And I want you to look at the very last verse of chapter 2, verse 24. And these are the spies that went. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land. For even all the inhabitants of the country do faint before us. Oh, do you hear a difference? Do you hear a difference? And so Joshua rises up early in the morning. And he gathers these children of Israel together. And he explains to them what they're going to do. And they, in verse 3, they command the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priest bearing it, you're going to move from your place and you're going to go after it. And you know what? It's amazing. As you read the story, guess what? They come to the Jordan and the Jordan parts. And they cross over into a land flowing with milk and honey that God had promised them. He promised their parents this, but their parents never got to see it. And they cross over, and you know what they're following? There's no mistake in this. Joshua said, Ark of the Covenant, lead us in. The holy presence of God, take us through. And the presence of the God Himself, as He dwelt in the Ark of the Covenant, it goes out before the people. And He says, get in line behind Jesus and follow Him in. And I'm going to tell you, if you're going to make it out there, we're just going to have to get in line behind Jesus and follow Him on. I promise you, if you will follow Him, He will lead you to victory. He has no plans for defeat for your life. He has plans, victorious plans. He knows the plans He has for you, says Jeremiah. They're good plans, not to harm you, but to bless you. God wants good. You say, well, Reba, why does bad things happen? Oh, too many reasons for us to know, understand, or count. But I can promise you, Romans 8:28 is still true. God takes all things and works them for our good. He can be trusted. Oh, Harold, man, what he said about emotions, wasn't that good? You know what these people, you know where these people erred? He saved me 15 minutes in my session. It's wonderful. Because I was going to park there a little while. You know what? Where these guys messed up? They're like giants. Ooh. And their emotions, these 10 men stirred up the emotions of the children of Israel against believing in what God would do. And I'll tell you, if you look at the giants, and they're out there. Some of you have looked them square in the eye while you've been here, and God said, we got to deal with this. I promise you they're out there. If you look at them, woo, I don't know if I can do this. If I look at what could happen, might happen, what if this happens, we don't know all that. You know what we got to do? We got to just follow Jesus. The ark will lead you in. The presence of God, it's what it represented. The presence of God is in us. It's with us. Jesus said, I'll not leave you without a comforter, but I will give you the comforter, and he will be with you. And he actually looked at his disciples and he said, a greater thing than me. What did he mean? Man, now Jesus left bodily, and the Holy Spirit's come to dwell with all of us, goes everywhere with all of us. You're not leaving those doors alone. You're leaving with a comforter. You're leaving with a teacher. He said, he'll be your teacher. You're leaving with someone who'll pour strength into you. Someone that'll be the empower of your life. You're not leaving here weak. You can leave here strong because of who he is. Or you can spend the next core of your life. No. 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 I'll tell you, the devil's going to cheer for you if you keep... He'll probably sing, ring around the roses. Come on. Oh, he loves a Christian spinning in circles. Wandered in the middle of nowhere. Wilderness, dry, barren, desert. Nothing. No growth. No life. Only struggles. Whining and complaining. Blaming God the whole time. When it's not God's fault, it's your fault. God gave you a promise. He took you right to the edge of it. You said no. Because there's giants. Yeah, there's giants, but there's also grapes. they're not baby grapes. You sit up and say, God says, there's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a land flowing with the goodness of God. But there's obstacles out there. God said, I'll help you defeat the obstacles. I wonder if the first generation understood that they were going to go walk around a wall and it was going to fall. If they had changed their minds. See, the battles are there, but God goes before you. God is the one leading and fighting. Oh, it's so good. So here we are, second generation. And they cross over. And this is what I want you to get this. Because this is so good. After they crossed over, the Jordan began to flow again. And in chapter 4 of Joshua, I want you to look at verse 19. And the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. And they encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones. Well, wait a minute. What 12 stones? Oh, well, then let's go back. Because as the waters parted and they were cut off, look at verse 7. Or let's see, let's look at verse 5. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean by these stones? That you shall answer them, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did as Joshua commanded, and they took up the 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan as the Lord spake unto Joshua. And they put them in the place, they carried them, and they laid them down there. These were the stones. See, this is what Joshua said to do. Waters are parted. They're crossing over, and he tells the men, get a rock. Get a big rock. Out of the middle of the Jordan. And carry it out on the land. And when you carry it out on the land, we're going to set them all up over here. We're going to make a rock pile. Why? Because there's a 4-year-old coming behind you who won't remember this day. There's a 6-year-old coming behind you that won't remember this day. But what you're going to do is they're going to be walking along one day and they'll go, "Hey, Daddy, what's that rock pile about?" Oh, let me tell you. Let me tell you how God led us to victory. Let me tell you what God did. And through every unbelievable situation, I want to encourage you. I've started doing it personally in my life. Pick up a memory. Pick up, maybe it's a verse that hangs on the wall of your home. Maybe it's I don't know what, it could be an object. I don't know what it could be. But pick it up. Because I'm going to tell you why this is so valuable. Let me tell you why this is so important. Let me tell you why this is such a big deal, ladies. That you walk out this door and what now becomes we march on in victory. Because there's people coming behind you. If you're 20 years old in here, can you stand up? If you're in your 20s, we have any 20-year-olds in here? All right. Awesome. Awesome. Can you help me because you're over there? Do you mind coming right over there and standing by that speaker? Yes. Yes, you. Thank you. She's going to represent all of you girls. You can sit back down. If you're 30s, you're in your 30s, would you mind standing? Are you in your 30s? Anybody in their 30s? Oh, great. Can you help me? Would you go stand just a little distance from her? All you 30s? Good group of 30s. How about you 40s? Is that all right? Would you mind representing all the ladies in their 40s? Could you come stand right here? Right in here? That's okay. We'll take it. All right. Sit down, 40s. Anybody in their 50s, you'd be willing to say, "I'm in my 50s, loud and proud"? Man. You're right here in the front row. You mind representing the 50s? Here we are, girls. She's going to represent you right here. All right, girls. You know where I'm headed. Anybody willing to say 60? Yes, I will represent the 60s. All right. Right here. Come on over a little bit. There we go. All right, you know where I'm going. Come on, where's the 70s? Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Right here.
70 and proud of
it. Absolutely. She's going to represent you, ladies. Any 80s? Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. I'm sorry to make you walk so far. Just go all the way down there. Anybody closer to 90 than you are 80? You getting close? All right, I'm going to spread you out just a little bit. Yes, ma'am. Yes, we're coming there next. Thanks for helping me. I know they're here. I haven't forgot them. No apologies. I need help all the time. Thanks for helping me. 80s, wow. What God has done in your life. All the grapes you have seen, the miles you have walked, the lessons you have learned, the circles you have walked in, the things God has taught you. I hope you've pulled some things out to pass back. Because see, there's 70s coming behind them. And all the lessons you've learned and the journeys God's taken you on and the joys and regrets, the heartaches, the tears, the suffering. but the great victories that God has won. And oh, you got to keep on going because they're coming behind you. You got to keep pulling those stones out from the middle of the victory because she's coming behind you. Oh, here you are, 60s. Oh, you're thinking about slowing down. No! We got still things to do. We got grandchildren to help. Great-grands to help. We got kids that would let us help them. We could help them. We still got women coming behind us. Still so much you've learned. Oh, we got to pull out those stones. We got to remember because we got to pass it back. Because we got 50s coming behind. Oh, and they're learning from all of you, ladies. The 50s, we're going to learn from you. We still got so much to learn. We need to learn from you guys. Oh, we still got so much. It's not time to quit yet. You quit now. What happens to everyone behind you? Do we all wander in circles? Oh, 40s. Best time of my life was my 40s, man. What a great journey that was. I was finally old enough that people thought that they could listen. But man, I had so much to learn. So many joys in the journey. Things change between here and there. God's got opportunities here. Moments. Pull out those stones, 40s. Walk in victory, 40s. We got to have you, 40s. Because there's still some people coming behind you. And it's the 30s. A generation that is struggling. Figuring out how to juggle it all in a world that's demanding so much. Oh boy, she needs what you got down there. You're setting her example. We got people to follow after. Oh, you can make it. We can make it. It's going to be okay. Oh, in the 20s. Come on, come out a little just a bit. This is a generation we're losing. Thanks for being here. Because we're losing them. And I wonder if we're losing them. Because this doesn't exist in their lives. Oh, there's more. Oh, you got to keep going. She's back here. You got to keep going. You got to keep walking in victory. You can't start walking in circles now, girls. You got to keep going. Oh, and my helper helped me. If you are younger than 20 years old, stand up. I'm going to pick on her because I got a chance to talk to her. 15. 15 big dreams for Jesus. 15 excited about serving Jesus. But I'll tell you, they're going to be, let's back it up, buddy. Because if Jesus tarries is coming, it's a journey. It's a journey. And there's victory to be had. There's battles to be faced. There's giants at every place. At every place. But oh, get Jesus in front of you. And learn. As you hand off the baton to her. And as you hand off the baton to her. And as we move, and I want you to watch what happens. Stay back here with me. I don't want to be sad. I'm not looking to be morbid. But I want you to watch what happens in the course of time as God moves on. Heaven calls. Come on all. Well done, good and faithful servant. And the line moves on. And heaven calls. Well done. You've been faithful in a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many. Well done. And the line moves on. And as Jesus tarries his coming, suddenly time moves on. And the line moves on. And time moves on. And it matters. And it matters at every stage of our life. And it matters. And all of a sudden, we blink. And you're 50. This is what I look like at 15. Well, almost. And you blink, and you're 60. And you blink, and you're 70. And God calls us home. And we never know what a day will bring forth. But there's a lot resting on this young lady's shoulders. You know what she's going to have to do? Hello, Jesus. And you know what y'all have to do? You got to leave her a path of rocks. You got to leave her memorial stones. That when she says, what's that for? You can say, let me tell you what God did there. Let me tell you what God did there in my 50s. Let me tell you what he did in my 40s. Let me tell you what he did in my 80s. Let me tell you what God did there. And it gives her hope. Otherwise, she walks alone. And because she walks alone, she has more higher opportunity to walk in circles. Scared of the giants. Afraid of what's in front of her. Forget it. I quit. It's not worth it. It's too hard. Oh, you got to go, girl. Because I know where you're headed, and people need you. So this ain't the time to quit. Pick you up some rocks, because you got a four-year-old behind you somewhere. What you do in the next 2 hours matters for everyone that follows behind you. Matters. If you walk in circles for the rest of your life, I can promise you it will not just impact you. It will not just impact you. It will impact a generation that follows behind you. It is time we walked by faith. Not by sight. It is time like the Apostle Paul. Oh, in the last moments of his life, as he pens his final, some of his final words to his protege in the faith, Timothy. He puts it this way. I have, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know who I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep me unto that day. He is able. What did Caleb say? He's able. I'm able because he's able. Oh, he can keep us. Paul says, I've been through it. I've fought the good fight. I have finished my course. And I got my eyes on Jesus. And I'm going to be with him soon. So Timothy, keep going. Keep going. Come on. It matters, ladies. You know, I don't want to leave this building heavy of heart. I don't want to leave this building discouraged. I don't want to leave this building. You know what I want to leave this? I want us to leave saying, he's able. how great is our God? How good is our God? Oh, there's giants out there. I know. Somebody told me. But there's grapes out there. There's victories to be had. Promised land. It's here. God's promised it. It's victory, abundance, tens. You can wonder in two if you want to. I'm done with two. I visit two every now and then. But I ain't living there. Girls, we need each other. We need Jesus. And it's time we pulled some memorial stones for victory. So the next generation that comes behind us, what's that for? Oh, so glad you ask. So glad you ask. But if you have nothing to show for your life, you'll have nothing to pull from. I tell you what I want us to do. Get that piece of paper out. I'm going to give you a minute, 2 minutes. What do you need to do when you leave this place? So that others can follow behind. What do you need to do? What do you need to do? Come on. Jesus, help me. I wrote some things down. You spoke to me this week. I got it on my paper, God. But it's got to be more than just a conviction. It's got to be an action. Tell me what I'm going to do. What am I doing when I'm leaving here? You got to know, because there's giants out there. You got to know, because there's discouragement out there. You have to know, because sometimes it's hard out there. But I promise you, God's going with you. So write it down, what you're going to do. Look at them. If you're not sure on some, put down, I promise to revisit when I've prayed more. Get on your face before God. Don't you? This is important. You're gonna wonder. You're gonna spend your life wandering in circles. This is important. Write it down. What if you see it clearly? Go do. Let's write it down. This is what I need to do. I need to go and get this right with somebody. I need to start getting in my Bible. I'm gonna meet at this time at this place, and here's where I'm gonna start. I need to start praying. I'm not praying like I need to be praying. This is what I'm gonna do. This is how it's gonna look like. This is my appointment with God. I'm moving. I'm wandering in circles no more.